And welcome back. You're tuned in to the HBCU Nation radio show, and I'm your host, Anthony Ray. Glad to have you join the broadcast today. And joining us for this segment is our good friend and go-to guy in all matters PR and marketing, Eddie Francis. And for this segment, we're going to be discussing a particular blog posting that he laid out in HBCULifestyle.com recently entitled Social Capital in the Black, Greek, and HBCU Communities. Hey, Eddie, welcome to the show.
Hey, Anthony. Thanks for having me, brother.
Wow, what a great title, Social Capital in the Black, Greek, and HBCU Communities. Exactly, man. What is that? And give us kind of the backstory and how you came up with this particular blog.
I came up with it, honestly, just by knowing Francois Booker Drew. She is a friend of mine and a friend of Halima's here in Texas, who has a background in nonprofit management and training. Mm-hmm. And she also has a PhD in leadership and change. But the interesting thing about her is that for her PhD, what she did was she did research about how social capital works among people of color. Mm-hmm. And in thinking about the work that she did and in hearing about the work that she did, I thought, well, you know, this is really a great conversation to have so that we can understand in both the Black Greek communities, but then also in the HBCU communities, what social capital is and how it can be used to advance what we're doing individually and throughout our communities and for the community in general. Mm-hmm. Now, social capital itself, if you look up the definition, you're going to see a definition that points to people who use their relationships to gain access to opportunities and resources. And a lot of people, when they think of the term social capital, they normally think of people in elite communities. Mm-hmm. So they might think of, and I was one of those people,
right,
who would think of people at Ivy League institutions who connect with one another so that they can maintain their access to wealth, to resources, and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But Francois's research indicates that social capital isn't so much about the resources, it's about the relationship itself and how that relationship can really lead to progress. Mm-hmm. So when it comes down to what I was thinking about, I was thinking, well, wait a minute. How can we, people of color, especially mm-hmm. in communities as tightly knit as the Black Greek community and the HBCU community, mm-hmm. how can we use our relationships to build social capital? So that's what I picked Francois's brain about mm-hmm. for a podcast interview that I did, and then later for the blog that I did for HBCU Lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's just interesting. And I'm reading it, of course, as we're talking. Gosh, and based upon her research, I mean, she really found out information that virtually, as you said before, really changes our whole perception about what we thought social capital really was. And gosh, she comes back and she indicates that any group can benefit from it. Is that right? It's all about relationships.
It is. And so the question that I really had when I talked to her was, well, Francois, how do we use this social capital so that we can benefit other people? Because
right.
that's really where the rubber meets the road, especially in the Black Greek community. Mm-hmm. So you think about the relationship that you and I have.
Right.
You and I have a relationship where we connect as Black Greeks. I mean, you're a Kappa, I'm an Alpha. We
right.
have that connection.
Right.
But then not only that, you have this interest in using the media platform to advance HBCUs.
Mm-hmm.
I have an interest in advancing HBCUs because of my experience having worked at HBCUs.
Right.
And the point at which you and I connect is we know that because of our energy, we know that because of our opinions and the way we form these opinions, we know that because of our passion for advocating for HBCUs, we know that we can use this platform of media to go ahead and tell those stories. We don't have to be rich to do it.
Right.
We don't have to be the most well-resourced people to do it, mm-hmm. but we can use our relationship. And what drew me closer to you is when I heard your story about why it is that you were so passionate about doing the HBCU Nation radio show. Mm-hmm. What connected you more to me is when you heard my story mm-hmm. about what I went through as a PR director at HBCUs and the stories that I had about having to deal with the general public and having to position these HBCUs so that people understood their value. Mm-hmm. So that connection point with us, according to what Francois researched, that connection point is really what matters, how you and I relate to one another and how we use this relationship so that we can advance a greater good.
Mm-hmm. If you're just joining us, you're tuned in to the HBCU Nation radio show, and I'm your host, Anthony Ray. Glad to have you join the broadcast today. And joining us for this segment is our good friend and our go-to guy in all matters PR and marketing, Eddie Francis. And today for this segment, we're discussing his most recent blog post in HBCULifestyle.com entitled How the Black Greek and HBCU Communities Can Leverage Social Capital. And it's really based upon an interview and research that Eddie conducted with Dr. Francois Boucoudreau. Now, she is a PhD, and she did her doctoral research work on how social capital works among people of color. And she came out with some incredible information. Her research showed that while people look at social capital as transactional relationships, those transactions do not exist without people relating to each other's stories. Powerful stuff, Eddie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And one of the cool things about talking to Francois about this is how she and I got connected in the first place. So mm-hmm. you talk about social capital. She and I got connected because she and my wife, Halima, formed a relationship.
Right.
They formed a relationship because they met on the basis of people who work with nonprofits.
Right.
Well, you know, Halima tells Francois she's a Zeta.
Right.
Francois tells Halima she's an AKA.
Right.
But they start to have even more connection because, you know, they're sisters with natural hair. So,
right.
So then they start to have even more of a connection because they start to realize that they have the same attitude about nonprofit work.
Right.
And then Francois is from Louisiana. Halima comes home and says, hey, you know, I just met a friend of yours. I just met one of your fellow Louisianans. And oh, by the way, you know,
She's an AKA.
And that was the thing that was so cool about talking to her, because talking to Francois, there was just this huge light bulb that just kept getting brighter and brighter when I was talking to her
mm-hmm.
and realizing, man, you know, all these points of connection that people have,
mm-hmm.
Especially with the internet now, there's really like 3 degrees of separation between everybody right now. And there's just no reason that people in the HBCU communities and people in the Black Greek communities cannot
right.
advance our causes mm-hmm. and advance our communities by really building on those relationships.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. And the bond that we have, really, again, I love this. It's all based upon, it's very powerful, of us sharing our stories. That is what really helps us to understand really what she found out in her research, that while people, again, look at social capital as transactional relationships, those transactions don't exist without people relating to each other's stories. That is so powerful. So then it comes back to our topic, how the Black, Greek, and HBCU communities can leverage social capital. Let's go right there, Eddie, and then build upon and elaborate upon that whole thought.
One of the things that was really interesting about our conversation is I was really interested in finding out from her standpoint, how does this dynamic work with Black Greeks, especially when it comes to what we do in college?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the research bears it out that about maybe 30% of leadership positions on a campus may be occupied by people who are in other student organizations, and
right.
Greek organizations are among the biggest ones. Mm-hmm. However, the Black Greek organizations may make up less than 1% of the student body. So how does that even work? Well, the thing is that you have all of these live wires, all these people, these strong personalities, these big aspirations who are wearing letters. They mm-hmm. get involved in all these organizations.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I asked her that really kind of piqued my interest was, you know, I was an example of somebody who was president of the Alpha chapter. I was vice president of this council. I was secretary in that organization all at the same time.
Right.
And I started to feel bad because once I graduated from college, I was thinking, man, you know, I don't know. I mean, I can't, I got to start my life and I don't have time for Alpha and I don't, you know, what's the,
yeah,
and I was feeling
I
really bad about
yeah,
that. I felt like I was dropping the ball on the
yeah,
planet.
Yeah.
Well, the thing that Francois brought to my attention was she said, hey, you know what? That's called life. That's what happens.
Mm.
And so people, the focus shifts from how do I, you know, how do I pay my mortgage now? How am I going to pay this car note? How am I going to get this job? Well, what's going to happen? How am I going to raise this family?
Right.
But what has to happen in the midst of all of that is that you have to find out, according to Francois, you have to find out how you're going to maintain those relationships.
Right.
So you may not necessarily be active in your chapter.
Mm-hmm.
You may not necessarily maintain contact with your line brothers or your line sisters or your chapter.
Mm-hmm.
However, if you maintain some point of connection with your organization and you act as an agent of that organization for good all the time, that helps maintain the relationship.
Right.
And then there's no rule saying that you can't do life and then go back to the frat of the sorority when you're ready.
Right.
And then when you go back, again, you build those relationships or you rebuild those relationships or you revisit those relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes, I mean, Anthony, dude, that was a head explosion for me.
Exactly. Sure. Yeah, I get it.
Because that's the point I'm at right now. I'm
right.
Like, you know what?
Sure.
I'm at that point. I'm revisiting a lot of relationships with brothers.
Mm-hmm. And I like it really had it all played out in your discussion. With Dr. Francois, she speaks to the fact that it's okay to understanding that knowing your past are going to go in different directions, and it's okay. So you got to give yourself permission to do that, and don't forget relationships because that's not you know it's a good thing, right? You're not diminishing the story. It's again, it's as you said, she pointed out, it's called life, and this is really going to help a lot of people. I'm so glad we're taking time to have this conversation. If you're just joining us, you're tuned in to the HBCU Nation Radio Show, and I'm your host, Anthony Ray. Glad to have you on the broadcast today. And Eddie Francis and I, my good friend, our go-to guy, and I'm out of Sperry Marketing. We're having this great conversation right now. I'm glad you guys are listening in on how the Black, Greek, and HBCU communities can leverage social capital. And it's really based upon the conversation he had with Dr. Francois Booker-Drew, interview that he did with her. You want to hear the interview, you can go to HBCULifestyle.com, and Eddie does a podcast with them. This is great stuff. And Eddie, continue along the line with this, man. The whole definition about what social capital happens to be, as you pointed out right there, it's more about relationships and resources than what we at once thought about. Because you pointed out at the top of the interview, you said, "Hey, Anthony, you know all of us, you know, we go back and we look at a formal definition of social capital, and it points to utilizing a social network to gain access, opportunities, and resources. But it's more about relationships and resources. That's powerful, good stuff, and it really helps us now to put some things in perspective, doesn't it?"
It does. And, you know, the point where the conversation got even more fascinating with me is, first of all, one thing that was fascinating is the simplicity of it.
Right.
Francois really, really made me aware in our conversation that this is not rocket science. This is really a lot more simple than we think it is.
Mm-hmm.
But so many of us are so busy trying to be brand new and innovative and all this other stuff that we forget the simple stuff.
Right.
And so here's where the conversation got fascinating.
Okay.
It got really fascinating when I said, hey, what about this point that a lot of us get to when we do graduate college and we move on, whether we're Greeks or not Greeks,
right,
it doesn't
sure.
matter.
Right, right.
And we feel, and this is an African American thing.
Right.
We feel we have to prove ourselves.
Sure.
And she said, you know what? Here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot lose your sense of identity.
Mm. Okay.
No matter how much you want to prove yourself. She
right.
said that she sat right. around with a room full of women.
Right.
And she asked them all, who are you?
Hmm.
And she asked them to introduce themselves.
Mm-hmm.
She said that every woman in that room
hmm.
led with a title.
Hmm.
And they said, well, I'm Dr. So-and-so. I'm
right.
Ms. So-and-so.
Right.
I'm this, I'm that. And I'm a mortgage broker. I'm a
right.
this, I'm a that.
Right.
And she said, yeah, but I know what y'all do for a living, but who are
who
you?
Who are you? Boy, that's some good stuff. Good God Almighty.
And Francois said that conversation, Anthony, she said the conversation got so dramatic that
mm-hmm.
women in the room were moved to tears.
Yes.
Because they realized that they had gotten to a point in their lives where
right.
they just completely lost a sense of identity.
Right.
And her point in telling that story was, you cannot maintain a relationship,
mm-hmm.
which means you cannot build social capital if
right.
you don't have a sense of self.
Right.
And so one of her things was to encourage people in telling stories and sharing stories with one another.
Mm-hmm.
One of her things was really invest in who you are, what makes you who you are. Think about your own stories.
Right.
And think about how those stories helped you become the person that you are.
Right.
And use that as a foundation to build on its social capital. So let's look at the HBCU standpoint.
Okay.
You know, if people, I'm an example of a black alum of a predominantly white institution who people look at and say, well, if you are an advocate for HBCUs, how would you know what it's even about? You didn't even go to one.
Mm.
And I'm okay with that challenge
right,
because
right.
that gives me the opportunity to tell my story.
Right.
And my story
great point.
You know, and my story is that my parents went to HBCUs. I have cousins for days who went to HBCUs.
Right.
But the biggest connection point is being in a black fraternity.
Right.
Where
wow.
the vast majority of my frat brothers are
right.
HBCU alumni.
Right.
And I get to hear their stories. I get to hear how HBCUs enrich their lives.
Right.
But then that
on
gets me to
that.
A point
mm-hmm.
where I get to talk about, you know, I went to work for an HBCU
mm-hmm.
because a friend of mine, who, by the way, is a Kappa,
right.
suggested, he recommended me highly for the position.
Wow.
I got in.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to do it because I wanted to make a difference.
Wow.
And I started working at an HBCU that people publicly had horrible opinions about.
Mm.
And my position was, what can I do to be a problem solver?
Mm-hmm.
What can I do to walk into that situation? Because here's the deal.
Mm-hmm.
Whether, you know, it doesn't matter where I went to school.
Right.
What I do know is that I have a history
mm-hmm.
that, and I know that my success, the reason I got that full scholarship to that white university,
mm-hmm.
because there were people who came before me at HBCUs who made it
wow.
possible.
Wow. Wow.
And so when people hear that perspective,
mm-hmm.
and the thing that really confuses some people is I'll say, you know, honestly, if I had a chance to make my college choice all over again,
mm-hmm.
I would still go to a predominantly white institution, and those are personal reasons.
Right.
But guess what I found out at that predominantly white institution? I'm still black.
Right. Mm.
So I'm still black.
It comes back to identity and who you are.
Exactly.
Exactly. Wow.
And so that, you know, and here's the thing, and here's the thing I think we all need to understand.
Mm-hmm.
Social capital is not a one conversation thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not sitting down at the bar over one drink.
Mm-hmm.
It's not one day in a barber shop. It's not one day in a beauty shop. It's
right.
not one day after
oh.
church.
Mm-hmm.
This is a conversation that takes place over the course of a lifetime.
Right.
And that was one thing I really got from Francois
yes,
is that
yes,
this is a
yes.
conversation that continues,
mm.
but you have to figure out how this relationship, how these relationships that we build,
mm-hmm.
we have to figure out how these relationships are going to work for our communities. And that was the biggest thing. That was my biggest takeaway from that conversation with her.
That's great. Hey, check this out. I'm going to ask you a question that you ask her, and that is, how can a young mind, whether it is that of a Black, Greek, or an HBCU student, recognize the value of social capital?
That was my favorite answer when I asked about it. Man, that was my favorite answer. And she immediately said, when you're young, that's the best time to do it. That is the best time to build social capital. And the example she gave is when she was in college and she was really active on campus doing all of this really cool stuff. But one of the things that she did that made a difference is she always volunteered to do something. Now, that's something that we see HBCU students do all the time.
That's
HBCU students get involved all the time on their campuses.
That's right.
And they volunteer. But here's where they can take this. In her case, her volunteering led to someone noticing the work that she was doing. When they noticed the work that she was doing, they gave her an opportunity. And she actually had a situation in which after college, she was on her way to her first job and she got into an accident. She wound up in a hospital. But she said what happened was someone remembered her from her volunteering days and offered her an opportunity. And so she wound up at 21 years old becoming the assistant director of a state program, all because somebody remembered her being active on campus and volunteering. But the thing that really made it work for Francois, she doesn't give herself enough credit on this. It wasn't that she just volunteered. Is that it was that she volunteered and she was always curious. So what she would do is she would ask questions. She would ask people, how can I help? Well, why are we doing this? What's this for? What do you do? And that is why she was able to take advantage of those opportunities. And that's where students can take advantage of those opportunities. You know, Anthony, I have a student that I mentor. And well, she's not a student. She's a she's a woman now.
Right,
she's a grown woman who's in grad school. And I mentor her. But what really makes the relationship work is the fact that she is curious and she will not leave me alone. she is aggressive. She is aggressive. And it's to the point right now where I will tell people that this young lady is like the daughter I never had. Because she's always asking questions. She's curious. She wants to know what's going on. How can I do this? How can I do that? And her curiosity is what makes the relationship work. But it's also how she has, I have to be honest, I'm kind of jealous because I thought I was like her main mentor. This girl has about five other mentors. And she turns to everybody, and I'm like, no, you're not the real mentor. I'm the real mentor. But, you know, it's all love among all of us because we all love this kid. And we love her energy. We love her curiosity. We love the fact that she's aggressive, and she's always telling people what she wants to do. And at the same time, when you tell her, hey, look, this may not work, but that might work, she'll say, okay, I'll listen to that. Okay, fine, I'll do it that way. I don't really want to, but since you're saying it, I'm going to consider it. And that makes it work too, the fact that she shows that she's willing to learn. So that in itself, but all of this started, Anthony, just like with Francois, all of this started when this young lady was a freshman in college. She got to it immediately, and it's paid off for her handsomely. So she's gone from a little HBCU to getting a master's degree at Pepperdine. And I mean, you know, I can't say enough about how she took the same kind, she's taking the same kind of route that Francois is, and is helping her as far as social capital. And on top of that, she, not only is she an HBCU alumna, but she's a Delta. So, I mean, all of that helps.
And attached right into the whole thing that, you know, you and Dr. Francois were talking about in terms of the things that a young student can do in terms of understanding this whole thing about social capital. You've been listening to a conversation with me and Andy Francis, my good friend, our go-to guy and All Matters PR and Marketing on social capital in the Black, Greek, and HBCU communities, how the Black, Greek, and HBCU communities can leverage social capital. You can learn more at eddiefrancis.com. Hey, Eddie, as always, man, we're hanging out with you. Appreciate all that you do as an advocate on behalf of the HBCUs.
Thank you very much, brother. Always good to be on.
Okay, take care until next week, man.
You got it. Thank
all right.
Bye-bye. Bye.